Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sacred Light by Simone Pond, narrated by Caitlin Kelly. 1. I was doing my best to play it cool. Like the moment wasn't huge. Some incredibly hot guy dancing with me, Fiona Farrow. It was, by far, the best birthday I could ask for, and anyone who knew me knew I'd been asking. For a long time. Not too many 21-year-olds managed to keep their virginity intact, but somehow I had done just that. It wasn't intentional, trust me. I chalked it up to bad timing. But that night felt right. I could finally step into my big girl pants. Or out of them. Either way, I was getting laid. Jared smiled at me, his blue eyes shining under the flashing lights. I hadn't heard a single word he'd said all night, but I knew two things for sure. He was pretty much walking perfection, and he had good teeth. He had a smile plastered on his face the entire time we were dancing. He also wasn't afraid to use his hips, so I deduced that he'd probably be good in bed. The perfect guy to help the whole virginity issue. Perhaps it seemed shallow, wanting to have sex with a stranger on my 21st birthday, but I honestly felt like if I didn't take drastic measures, the rest of my adulthood would look a lot like my college years. Tons of hard work, sleepless nights, struggling to fit into the world like a normal person, only to have zero reward. Something about my 21st birthday seemed more like a rite of passage into womanhood, rather than merely a legal drinking age.
"So,"
he yelled over the pounding bass. I smiled, feeling the buzz of excitement flitting around in my stomach. Things were about to change.
Big time.
"So," I yelled back, bumping my nose against the side of his head in a terribly ungraceful manner.
"I think you're pretty dang hot, Fiona, and I'd like to cool you down."
Okay, so he wasn't the most eloquent guy in the room. But we were in a bar. We had been drinking. It was typical pickup vernacular, right? A rush of heat rolled through my middle as I nodded, moving closer in. He wrapped his hands around the small of my back, and my heart started throbbing louder and stronger than the bass. He squeezed my ass, pressing me up against his muscular chest that was only covered by a thin layer of dark gray t-shirt. He mumbled something in my ear, but all I felt was the warmth of his breath, and that was enough encouragement for me. I grabbed his hand and led him off the dance floor. "Let's get out of here." I pulled him through the swarm of people surrounding the bar, going full steam ahead. I wasn't even going to stop and say goodbye to my best friend Charlotte, who was somewhere in the lounge area. No, I needed to get out of there immediately. Especially before... Fiona! Lilith appeared before me like she had just parted the Red Sea. Her long blonde hair was bouncy and shiny, like a model in a Pantene commercial. And I hated her for it. I never spent that much time getting ready. That night, like most other nights, I had simply pulled my long brown hair back in a ponytail. Looking at Lilith, I immediately regretted my decision. I guess it didn't really matter. I could have spent 3 hours getting ready, and the same thing that always happened would still happen. The look in Jared's eyes, the burning desire to throw me over his shoulder and carry me to the closest bedroom, had shifted from me to Lilith. And that was why I was still a virgin. Lilith could have easily passed for an actress from the set of Gossip Girl. She was impeccably gorgeous and charismatic. And she had the worst timing ever. At least in my case. Every dude I might have gone home with would immediately forget my name the moment Lilith entered the picture and cast her proverbial spell. I guess it wasn't so bad in college, because I had a lot more time to study, work at the bookstore, and do my summer internship at the hottest news blog in San Francisco. So there was that. "Happy birthday," Lilith shouted with her perfectly plump lips, then handed me a shot of something clear.
Who's your friend?
Jared yelled. Lilith, Jared. Jared, Lilith. Pleasure to meet you. Lilith leaned in and planted a kiss on his chiseled jaw.
The pleasure is all mine,
he said, taking her hand and leading her back to the dance floor. Yep, she was the very definition of bad timing. I gulped back the shot and walked to the bathroom to save myself from doing something incredibly stupid, like running after Jared and telling him it was my birthday, not hers. I had to let it go, just like always. With Lilith, there was no contest. I often joked that she was a succubus. I didn't mean it in the literal sense. I would have known if someone I'd been living with for 4 years in college was a demonic being. It's just that I had never heard my parents mention them. Warlocks and witches, yes. Demonic beings, check. But no discussions of succubi. In the bathroom, I splashed cold water over my face, smearing my makeup. I didn't care because the night was already a wash. Turning 21 was supposed to be special. After all, I had just inherited my grandmother's Victorian home in San Francisco. I had dreamed about living in the city since I was a kid growing up in the East Bay, and as of that night, I was officially a resident of posh Pacific Heights. The plan was to bring home a guy to commemorate the occasion, but no such luck. As I finished scrubbing off the rest of my eyeliner, the light over the sink started flickering, and a strange violet glow came from one of the stalls. I had seen some bizarre things in my house, growing up with partially supernatural parents like mine, but I was completely caught off guard. The glowing light exploded into a blast of sparkles, and I backed away toward the door, hoping to get out before whatever it was came out of the stall. But the lock was stuck. Naturally. The stall door opened, and a tall, muscular dude with a shaved head and mocha brown skin appeared. He would have looked totally normal if his eyes weren't iridescent violet and glimmering. Definitely not human. Seeing something like that would have freaked out the average person, but I grew up around inexplicable paranormal activities. As a kid, I had learned to block out this type of phenomenon. My parents warned that I couldn't ignore my destiny forever, but I ignored them, too. My parents were protectors of light. Their job was to protect one of the 7 sacred scrolls to keep the evil Shadow Order from gaining complete control over all the dimensions. The scrolls held some kind of ancient powers that, if in the wrong hands, could cause big problems. At least for people who liked to avoid places like hell. Unlike my parents, who took their jobs seriously, I had never wanted to be involved in supernatural, interdimensional bullshit. Especially since our side had been slowly losing over the past few millennia. I liked living in the real world. I had just graduated college and had a career ahead of me, a new house to fix up, and my virginity to lose. Besides, things hadn't panned out so well for my mom or my dad being protectors of light. They had been missing ever since I went to live in the dorms down at USC to study journalism 4 years ago. As far as the outside world was concerned, they went missing while they were covering the war in Syria. Mom was the photojournalist for my dad's award-winning essays. But I knew their disappearance had nothing to do with the war and everything to do with the supernatural crap. Most likely some demon from the Shadow Order had them holed up in another dimension. Or worse. But I couldn't think about that stuff without getting seriously choked up. I was crushed over their disappearance, and thinking about it only made things worse. I'd figure out how to get them back one day, but until then, I'd stay out of trouble. Bottom line, I didn't want to be a protector of anything. I didn't want to risk getting stuck in some other dimension like my parents. I had no idea how to fight off supernatural bad guys. And I had so much to accomplish in the current reality I was residing in. Reasonable, right? My philosophy was that if you didn't mess with evil, it wouldn't mess with you. But that night in the bathroom, it started to become clear I no longer had a choice in the matter. Destiny is destiny. The creature standing before me with those glimmering eyes was confirmation. I'd been dreading that moment for a long time, when the monarchy would send one of their kind after me. I wanted to become a protector of light and guard a sacred scroll about as much as I yearned being caught on fire. I just wanted a normal life. And I really preferred to finish out my birthday without any supernatural interference. I yanked the door until it finally opened and escaped the bathroom before Glimmer Eyes could make a move. 2. I headed over to the lounge area where the rest of my friends were hanging out. Actually, they were Lilith's friends, a pack of glossy, perfumey sorority sisters who sipped their cocktails and flipped their hair. Each one of them was prettier than the next. Besides me, the only other girl who stuck out was Lilith's fraternal twin sister, Charlotte, my best friend. She was the polar opposite of Lilith. She had brown hair cut into a shoulder-length bob. Unlike her sister, who spent a fortune being a blonde. And like me, Charlotte dressed casual but stylish, with a slightly hipster, dorky vibe. Charlotte and I made a good pair. Mostly because we wanted to do something important in the world, make a difference and all that. She was studying to be a pediatrician, and I was going to be a world-class investigative journalist, like my father. Charlotte sat by herself on the purple velvet couch, totally engrossed in her phone. The glow from the screen lit up her face. I plunked down next to her. She glanced up. "Having fun, birthday girl?" "Oh, tons. Best birthday ever." "What happened to the hottie you were dry-humping on the dance floor?" "Your sister." Charlotte rolled her big brown eyes and grinned, patting my shoulder. "You're not really a one-night-stand kind of gal anyway." "Yeah, but it'd be nice to celebrate my 21st birthday in style." "You mean, with a bang?" Despite my sour mood, I laughed. Ever since freshman year, Charlotte knew just what to say. We had shared a dorm room with Lilith and some other runway model and bonded over lattes, pizza, and study. She knew every dirty little secret. If I got a B+ on an exam instead of an A, or if I was late to work, or if the guy I was talking to at a party went home with Lilith. There weren't too many secrets in my closet. Well, except for the big one that even my bestie Charlotte didn't know, though I trusted her with my life. I had never mentioned the whole protector of light thing to her because it wasn't exactly something you share with your best friend while studying for a chemistry exam or standing in line for a latte. "Hey, did I ever mention that when I turn 21, I'll become a protector of light? So, yeah, I might be busy on evenings and weekends. You know, protecting innocent people from the evil shadow order that mortals don't know about. Well, some do, but only the evil ones. Anyway, if the shadow order wins, we can kiss human decency goodbye. There's a lot more, but it's a long story, and we should probably get back to studying elementary particles. I'd hate to fail that chemistry exam." Yeah, the timing never seemed right. Plus, I enjoyed having Charlotte for a best friend. She would have run for the hills had I told her the supernatural truth. I figured if I didn't talk about my family's ancient angelic bloodline, it'd eventually go away. Charlotte patted my shoulder and gave me one of her puppy dog grins. "Look, you have the rest of your 20s to get laid. If I keep hanging around your sister, it might take my entire 20s just to get a date." "Whatever, Fiona. You just landed the best job in San Francisco. I mean, working for Summer Barrett at Lifting the Fog. Do you have any clue how many fresh-out-of-college journalism majors would kill for that job? How many 21-year-old investigative journalists do you know?" "Probably as many 21-year-old virgins," I smiled, standing up to leave. "Leaving? It's still early." "I'd rather spend the night alone in my brand new house. Like a real adult." "Brand new is not the adjective I've used to describe what you just inherited." "Well, it's a house. and it's all mine. So when you're trekking back over to Berkeley tonight, think of me chilling in my stylish Victorian house on the hill. Charlotte laughed and gave me a rib-cracking hug. Chilling is right. More like haunted house on the hill. Funny, Char. Good one. I pinched her arm and kissed her cheek. Before I turned to leave, she grabbed my hand. Wanna get lunch tomorrow? My treat to make up for my sister's brazen cock-blocking. Sure. There's a coffee shop really close to my new house. I'm going there early to do some work, so text me whenever. Working on a Sunday? When have I not worked on a Sunday? But your first day isn't until Monday. Can't you have one last day of freedom? Work is freedom. Gives me the money to do things I want. And what is it you want, Fiona Farrow of San Francisco? I glanced out to the mob of people dancing, then to the couples nestling into each other on the nearby couches, then back to Charlotte. I guess I'd like to meet a guy who isn't into girls like Lilith, I smiled. She playfully shoved me. Who doesn't? I gave her a friendly flip-off with an air kiss, then walked out into the icy San Francisco night. Summers in the city were colder than any winter I had experienced living in the East Bay where I grew up. Not that I was complaining. I had spent enough time outside San Francisco, and I was so completely ready for my big city adventure. 3. I stood on the corner waiting for my Uber to arrive. And that's when I spotted Glimmer Eyes again, standing across the street in front of a pizza shop, where streams of drunken people stumbled in and out. They didn't notice him, but I couldn't miss him staring intently with those glowing violet eyes. Of course, the only guy in the city who was interested in me was a supernatural stalker. He moved closer toward me, his eyes illuminating more intensely, and a rush of electricity charged through my bones. I refused to give him my attention and turned my gaze toward the street lamp, ignoring him. Judging from his behavior, I assumed he wasn't allowed to speak to me unless I invited him into a conversation. Otherwise, he would have done so by that point. I remembered my grandmother mentioning those type of angelic beings. I couldn't remember what they were called, but either way, I decided to keep my big mouth shut as long as possible. Glimmer Eyes could lurk outside the pizza shop all night for all I cared. Did the monarchy just expect me to drop my life to become a protector of light? No thanks. But no matter how much I tried to ignore my pending fate, it was coming right at me. Glimmer Eyes started crossing the street, cars zipping right through his metaphysical body as he made his way to me. I kept my lips pressed tight, fearing even a single smart-ass remark would constitute an invitation into a conversation. He was getting closer. The light in his eyes drew me in, and I could feel words starting to bubble up in my throat, like I was being compelled to invite him into a conversation. I was about to yell something like, "Back the fuck off!" when a midnight blue Prius screeched up to the curb. I was saved by the Uber driver. I jumped into the car and slammed the door behind me, triple-checking the lock. Not that it mattered. That thing could have shimmered his way right through the car door. Fortunately, my driver was a speed demon. I mean, I don't know if she was an actual demon, but she sure liked pressing down on that gas pedal. We bolted down Folsom toward Market, the alcohol sloshing around in my gut. Sorry I was late. You won't report me, will you? I'll get you home fast. Promise. Actually, you were right on time. That dude was about to accost me. She glanced into her rearview mirror, zipping a shaky left as the light turned red. What dude? She asked. I figured she was human. Otherwise, she probably would have seen Glimmer Eyes. Oh, just some drunk guy. Hey, do you think you could slow down? I don't want to die on my birthday. She eased up on the gas. Sorry, happy birthday. Thanks. Was it a good night? Well, I'm going home alone, so I'm pretty sure that's a resounding no. She let out a snort. Well, the night is still young. That's what I keep hearing. But you know what sounds really nice? Hanging out alone in my new house, binge-watching Netflix. She turned down Fillmore. Not too many people were out and about. It was the grittier part of town. I saw some sort of altercation as we passed an alley, a flash of light and some screaming. But I wasn't sure what to make of it. I had been drinking. As we crested the hill, Pacific Heights gleamed before me like the land of Oz. The houses stood with grandiose opulence, and the shops along the sidewalks were swanky. Everything looked pristine and peaceful. The type of place you wouldn't need to look over your shoulder. Fancy neighborhood, the driver said, breaking the silence. Just inherited my grandmother's house over on Clay Street. Congrats! Yeah, I'm super excited. My first time living alone. And I start a new job on Monday at Lifting the Fog. Things are looking up. Well, except in the guy department. You're fine. The right guy will appear at the right time. She turned onto Clay and slowed down, approaching my grandmother's house. Stopping the car, she pointed to a giant Victorian with pale green, peeling paint and bushes growing up around the tall windows. This is you? Disappointment filled the car. I could see why. The house looked like squatters had taken refuge in it over the last few years. After my grandmother passed away when I was 15, the house went dormant as my family awaited my 21st birthday when I'd inherit the property. My parents hired people to take care of it, but after they disappeared 4 years ago, I had to let them go. I didn't have the money or time for upkeep. Not while I was down at USC studying journalism. I'd always told myself I'd fix it up after I moved in and received the stipend that came with it. The place looked pretty bad, even in the dark. But I was hopeful. Are you sure it's not condemned? She asked. I got out of the car and waved her off as I walked up the steps to my new front door. Sure, it was a mess. Yes, it needed a lot of work. But it was mine. All mine. As I fiddled with the front lock, the hairs on my neck prickled. I glanced over my shoulder to find glimmer eyes across the street, staring right at me. I had no idea how he knew where I lived. I felt that pulling sensation again, so I smashed my shoulder up against the door until it finally splintered open. Great. One more thing to fix, I mumbled, slamming the door. I dragged a nearby table over to barricade the broken door. I hadn't been inside the house since I was a teenager, but underneath the mildew and mold, it still smelled the same. Roses and pine. I went to turn on the lights. Forgetting the power company refused to turn on the electricity until I had electrical work done. So I turned on my phone flashlight and peered into the shadowy, dark rooms. Everything was exactly as I remembered. Only the brocade couches were threadbare, with stuffing coming out of the gaping holes in the fabric. And the ornate antique pieces looked sinister in the shadows. I hoped that upstairs would be less creepy. I had my very own guest room with pastel Laura Ashley wallpaper and a big white four-poster bed. I couldn't wait to get up there and get settled. But on the third step, my left foot went right through the rotted wood. I yanked myself free with great relief, but suddenly I was completely worried that monsters were cowering in the shadows. I decided it'd be better to sleep downstairs in the living room, closer to the front door, just in case I needed to make a run for it. I curled up on one of the couches with less holes and more legroom. Cold air seeped through the cracks in the windows and from unseen holes in the walls. I used a pile of dusty throw pillows to cover my shivering body. Clearly, I hadn't thought about the state of the house, which was very unlike me. Maybe it was the excitement of moving to the city and being on my own. Maybe it was the desperate desire to be independent. But I hadn't considered the place to be that bad off. I'd be spending tomorrow looking for a contractor to turn this ramshackle money pit into something inhabitable. The shabby curtains shifted in the breeze, and light from the street lamp fell across the murky living room. I squeezed my eyes shut, trying to force myself to go to sleep. It wasn't a good night to have insomnia. A new Glimmer Eyes was right outside my door, his presence gnawed at my stomach. How much longer could I avoid him and my destiny? Months? Years? If I were hyper-diligent about ignoring him, would he eventually go away? I wanted to get on with my new life, write award-winning stories, and travel the world, exposing corruption. I wanted to take down the bad guys of the world. And what would guarding some silly scroll do anyway? The monarchy could take that scroll and shove it up. The street lamp outside the living room window crackled and buzzed, then shattered into 1,000 pieces that fell to the ground like chunks of hail. I wasn't sure if the monarchy could monitor my thoughts, but I told myself I'd be more careful with my words. I moved one of the throw pillows over my face and shivered in the dark. I planned to stay under that pile of musty pillows until the sun came up or the coffee shop opened. Whichever came first. 4. The next morning, I woke up with my t-shirt clinging to me and a pool of sweat dripping down the middle of my boobs. It was the same damn dream again. The one where my mother and father are stranded in an endless desert, trudging across the sand as their protective armor emits a gleaming aura around them. My mother holds a luminous scroll in her right hand, and my father leads the path through the barren desert. Suddenly, a glimmering angel appears in the distance, his presence almost blinding. My mother and father smile with relief and pick up their pace. The beautiful, statuesque angel stands before my parents. My parents look so small as my mother hands the illuminating scroll to the angel. Then, from out of the ether, a giant demon made of pure darkness, with dragon-like wings and glowing red eyes, manifests. He pummels the angel, attacking it with a razor-sharp dagger made of obsidian. The sunlight glints against the hard black blade as the demon plunges it into the heart of the angel. The ambush only lasts a few seconds, and the angel crumples to the sand, his once radiant light completely snuffed out. The winged demon snatches the no longer glowing scroll and blinks out of the scene. My mother and father are nowhere to be found. I run to where the angel fell, but it's too late. He's gone, and so are my parents. Every single time I have this damn dream, the demon slays the angel, takes the scroll, and my parents go missing. I assumed the scroll the demon took was one of the 7 that belonged to the monarchy. I had no clue what any of the sacred scrolls contained, but they were important enough to assign protectors to guard them from the Shadow Order and other dark forces who had been going up against the monarchy for millennia. When I was a little girl and actually interested in this stuff, I asked my dad why the monarchy allowed the Shadow Order to exist. He smiled and gently patted my head. "That's why we're here, to protect the light from darkness. One day you'll get your armor, which will protect you against evil as you guard the light to help keep goodness in the world." By the time I was 12 or 13, I had stopped asking questions about the supernatural, mostly because they had ruined a lot of family dinners and took up a lot of my parents' time. They were living busy double lives, and it was a lot to take in for a teenager with a slew of confusing hormonal changes. Hell, it was a lot to take in for a 21-year-old. But as intense as they were, I really missed my parents. At college, I had been able to numb out by focusing on my studies while I waited for the monarchy to find them and bring them back to their rightful dimension. But it never happened. and my resentment for the monarchy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?